What's good, everybody? Touchdowns and Tangents, live from the Good News Radio Station. I'm Pete D. Camarillo. Who are you?
I'm Kenneth Barry.
Sorry, that's my bad. But yeah, man, for those of you who don't know, we are the dynamic duo, Touchdowns and Tangents, your place for Thursday night football talk, NFL takes, topical tangents for the culture. Shout out to Esquad Affiliates, FPC Radio,
BS3 Radio,
your favorite podcast app, and anybody else who fucks with us. For those of you who don't know, we were at the Senior Bowl last week, Mobile, Alabama. I don't know how you could have missed that, considering that's literally been all our social media for like 2 weeks. So if you haven't gotten a chance to check that out, make sure you go to TDs_tangents. Check that shit out, boy.
And Anchor, too. Like, literally, there's like almost an hour worth of audio out there in interviews. So, you know, listen.
So, Kenny, just, you know, before we get into the actual draft side of it, what was your biggest takeaway from the Senior Bowl?
On the field, the biggest takeaway is that Justin Herbert could legitimately be the number one overall pick.
I just meant, like, actually, personally, the experience.
Oh, the personal experience is, God, I miss when there was no traffic on the road. Like, honestly, the fact, like, there being the sole just lack of traffic and freeway being stuff reminded me when I was a child, which was like,
I just enjoyed learning that Mardi Gras started in Mobile and not Louisiana.
You stole my next point. Yes.
Like, which
the word was debauchery, as defined by our Lyft driver, who said something subtly racist as we were getting out of the Lyft. And all I hear when you were walking to the elevator is you just howling and cackling from inside the hotel. And I'm trying to keep it together. And I'm just like, we're in Mobile, Alabama. By the way, shout out to the Waffle House on Airport Drive, the goats. They are the best.
Yeah, my hotel was actually right there the next day, but yeah, so the funny thing is my coworker brought in a king's cake, which is essentially like a sort of Danish, but for Mardi Gras, and there's like a little baby in there, and whoever gets the baby has to bring the king's cake next year. Anyways, I just thought it was funny and ironic that, you know, we got that shipped from Louisiana today, and I was telling her about the Mardi Gras fact, and she's like, yeah, I know. She's like, I had a cousin move to Mobile, and she's like, always try to rub that in my face. And I was just like, nobody cares.
Like, it's Mobile.
Everyone goes to New Orleans for Mardi Gras. Like, Mobile's, nobody cares where it started.
Mobile's the family one. But, I mean, you know, they're both occupied by the French at the time. So, learned a lot of history. I mean, next time I got to hit up that Satchel Paige field, though. Hank Aaron field, my bad.
But, yeah, man, if you really want to deep dive into the Senior Bowl, we have a ton of content on touchdownsandtangents.com. Or you can just type in Touchdowns and Tangents on Anchor, the app, or anchor.fm, and you can find it all there. But, yeah, so just real quick, just to kind of wrap everything up from that week and, you know, try to move forward, what else did you take away? You know, you mentioned Herbert. What else did you take away in terms of the draft from that whole
week? This is a loaded receiver and defensive line class. And, like, this is probably one of the deepest drafts since that infamous Odell Beckham draft year.
In terms of receivers?
In terms of receiver in general, like, this is a deep draft. Think about it. There could potentially be three franchise quarterbacks in this draft. Like, legit. Legit. Burrow, Herbert, Tua. You could argue even Jordan Love. And Jacob Eason might become something. That's like four guys legit who could change a franchise. And with an old guard of quarterbacks almost on their way out, it's interesting. And then you look at all the receivers coming in. Tight end, Harrison Bryant, Mackey a winner. He has 65 catches for over 1,000 yards. 45 of those catches were first downs. And you look at the two best players on both offenses, or one of the two best players on both offenses, are tight ends, arguably. George Kittle, Travis Kelce. This cat could be the next Kittle in terms of his willingness to block, and could has some Kelce to him as far as his athletic ability and his catching the football. So I think it'll be a really interesting class. And the defensive line class, just like the defensive line and the edge rushers, They mobbed.
I was going to say the linebacker class. You know, I think they're, just from what I've listened to from your reporting and just what I've been reading, you know, there's been a lot of guys that are both, were both productive in college and then are also surprisingly athletic and bring a lot of good instincts. So I'm looking forward to see how they kind of sort themselves out with more, you know, combine testing, and we'll see where everyone kind of ranks and plays out.
Yeah, Bradley and I out of Utah, all-time sack leader, was in Jalen Hurts' face like he owned the money. And
which also, a lot of people were asking about Hurts, and obviously, you know, being in Alabama, he was kind of the star of the show.
Yeah.
He was the star of the show, but, you know, we can put it on the O-line. We can put it on a lot of things, but ultimately,
he did not look good.
He did not look good, and from what I was hearing in the practice, he was kind of hit or miss, too.
Yeah, it was not good. He needs work.
Unfortunately, I mean, and we've talked about this, is, you know, is he going to find somewhere that's going to draft him and invest that work into him as a black quarterback? I don't know, man. It's unlikely, but if he was, you know, from 6'5" from Penn State, he might get an extra year or two in the league.
I mean, Trace McSorley's a backup in the league, and I didn't think he was even going to get drafted. And I thought Tyree Jackson was a better player than him anyway. But, you know, things happen. That dude's in Buffalo now.
So we'll see. We'll see how it all plays out.
I think Hurts had some good things about him, but it didn't help that the North defensive line was just whooping the South defensive line's ass.
Yeah, I was
all
really
week.
Disappointed in really the offensive line. I felt like there were some inside guys, but the thing with inside guys is you can get them late. And
the Oregon guy.
They don't always translate just because a lot of those guys have miles on their knees and their heads. So, and a lot of them can be system guys, and just depending on their athleticism. So, it's a lot. But, like, the tackles, I feel like were athletic specimens, but I just
South Carolina State tackle?
I just didn't see I didn't really see a lot of what I wanted to see from that group.
I think the North just instilled physicality from the get-go. The North offensive and defensive lines were going to war during practice week.
But overall, how would you grade your coverage last week? How do you think you did personally?
I give it a B plus. There are some moments where
it's pretty high, man.
I feel like for my first time ever covering something that big and just being out there and getting the content that I did, I'd say just a quick grade, a B plus, and then other areas I got A's in. Other areas I got, you know, a B. A C plus. So I'm kind of just looking at it like that.
What do you feel like you can improve next time?
I think the biggest thing I would say is just knowing what content works where. I think if I just had that DVD up, like now that I had all that audio, but I think the real planning when it came was just knowing where all that stuff goes. And just publishing there and flooding the timeline that way would have solved me, like, some headaches. Because I was just, like, in the moment, especially for, like, media days and practice, I was just focused on getting video, audio, and making sure I had enough to last for whatever I wanted to do with it, rather than kind of, if I work the other way, saying, okay, this is all the stuff I want to do, and then not worrying about, okay, I don't have to get everybody. Because my first initial reaction was I wanted to get, like, as much as possible. And sometimes that can be overwhelming when you're trying to.
That's definitely overwhelming because when you get.
Because I got like 30 people.
When you get back to your computer, you just have a lot of shit you got to listen to and sort out and find out what goes where.
And then once you publish it.
And how to push it out. And it's just a lot.
And once you publish it, you're like, damn, I should have did it this other way. Like, so I know some people who were just out there to write articles. I was out there trying to get everything. So it's kind of like I look at it a little bit differently. But as the football part, honestly, was the easiest part, just watching it as a former offensive lineman and someone who, like, can see the game and see how things go. That was the easiest part. It was just getting some of those clutch moments, getting some of those, you know, those great shots. Like, some of the video of just receivers just straight out embarrassing corners in the end zone. Some of those catches were amazing. But, you know, I'm a one person. Like, I can't have a high-powered camera and be able to get it and then relay it to someone in a truck. So I can't really try to have those type of expectations and think I'm going to produce the same thing as people who have more resources. It's more like just, okay, let me have kind of a smaller, realistic goal, bro, that I want.
This is what you talk about on this podcast, right? Talk your shit, but be honest with yourself and where you are and what you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
So fuck all that limited resources fucking shit, putting yourself in a box. That's bullshit. Like,
no, I don't mean like that. I mean, like, I wanted to do a bunch of stuff, and I did a bunch of stuff, but it's more like, okay, with a bunch of stuff I did, how can I, like, perfect that rather than just trying to constantly get a bunch of stuff and say I did this, and this, but, like...
It's just prioritizing. It comes with time and experience. Like you said, it was your first time covering a big event, so it just takes time and knowledge, man.
And learning some tricks. Like, I learned some tricks and little tips just on the fly.
Man, honestly, I've seen motherfuckers in a scrum, like, literally, like, record three interviews at one time. Like, I've seen a dude hold a camera and have a selfie stick and then have a camera on his backpack recording three different people in a Lakers locker room. Like, I've seen some crazy-ass shit. Like, there's some people out there who hustle. I fuck with them. But yeah, man, ultimately, I'd say I give myself a C. I feel like I did some good stuff on social media. I really enjoyed experimenting. The players really liked what I was doing on Snapchat. Even like Jim Nagy and they were like, oh, I never seen shit like that. And I was like, yeah, that's what I do for a living. I blaze trails, sir. But yeah, ultimately, I feel like I give myself a C only because, like, I'm happy that I was out there. I'm happy that I was doing stuff. But I just feel like I'm still getting better at transactional interviews. I'm not really comfortable doing transactional interviews, especially like for audio tape. I just don't like it. So I'm just learning how to get better at that because I'm more of a long form kind of conversation person. You know, that's why we kind of have this podcast where it's more conversational and less about clout. But I digress. So on that note, I just want to take a few more minutes to talk about the topic of the week that everyone's been talking about. I don't want to spend too much time talking about this just because everybody's been talking about it all week and you know, as much as we're all grieving and hurting and sad and really have our soul taken out of us, we do also have a responsibility to move forward. And then with the big game here, obviously, like, I just want to give people something to look forward to and something to get them through their days and their nights and their weeks. And especially these next few days leading up to Super Bowl, because honestly, like, this news this week really, really, like, it made the Super Bowl go away for 4 days. Like, honestly, the Super Bowl just came up, like, on my timeline and shit, like, today. Like, and media week's already been going on for 4 days, which is absurd.
Yeah.
So with all the Radio Row, all that stuff, like, usually that just dominates everything. Usually you can't get away from it. And this year was, like, the opposite. Like, I had to go and actually look for it and seek it out. So, for those of you who don't know, who've been living under a rock for whatever reason, Kobe Bryant is no longer with us. He died along with 8 others in a helicopter crash on the hillside of Calabasas this past weekend. Obviously, we send our condolences to all the families involved. For all of you out there who are feeling some type of way, we love you. We're feeling the same way. You're not alone. We're going to get through it. We're going to get through it as a city, as a community. And I'm not even a Laker fan, and I feel it deep down to my soul. So, you know, I've already kind of talked about it and shared a little bit and written about it. So I'm interested in more to hear what you have to say about the whole topic, Kenny.
It's weird because, like, I said this off the air and I've said a couple of places, like my sports identity is, like, my sports childhood is, like, 90% Kobe. Like, coming from East Oakland in 99 and coming out here, like, I gravitated towards the Lakers. I gravitated towards the Angels and the Dodgers and USC. And really, it was just like, the greatest moments of my life have been Kobe usually doing something. And I hearken back to, like, my mom, well, she worked at, like, a little orthopedic hospital, and the Lakers would come in sometimes, and she would work with them, and she was like, you know, Kobe, as a teenager, is one thing, but she was always a huge fan every time she saw him on TV, and it would just blow my mind. And then you factor in the fact, like, I played for the junior Lakers when I was, like, 11, and how they did it at the time was, like, they'd have kids go through drills, they'd have you do a bunch of stuff, and then they'd be like, okay, you got to play everybody on this team one-on-one. Like, so they drafted me on the team that I got drafted to. We ended up winning the title that year, which was cool. I was a backup, but got some play time the whole season mostly, and actually hit like a game winner in one of the games. And I just remember before I had to, like the night before, I was watching Kobe highlights, and I was just like, you know what? I'm not going to be the best scorer when I get out there, because all these kids are like, been playing basketball their whole lives. Like, this is me first time playing organized ball, but I grew up in the park playing it. So it's like, I gotta like attack these dudes defensively. Like, I gotta make sure I smother them. Like, that's what Kobe would do. That's what I'm gonna do. And then I could score on anybody. I'll find a way to get a bucket. But when I went out there and went like pretty much one-on-one with everybody on the team, I literally beat everybody on the team 1-on-1. It was just like sudden death for a basket. 1-on-1 with everybody. Found a way. It was ugly. Especially with like the coach's son was like the best player on the team. And he hit me with an elbow as I was getting back down to the basket that, I'm not going to lie, I was disoriented. But somehow I ended up stealing the ball, scoring. And like, I earned everybody's respect that day on the team. They're like, okay, like, he's what's up. And that, I just remember, like, literally my motivation was like, okay, I'm not going to get embarrassed. And what would Kobe do? Like, how would he attack it? And then later in the season, when I got some play time and, like, hit a game winner, I was at the free throw line for, like, the clutch free throws. And I was like, okay, I can't bank this in because Kobe would probably look at me and be like, that's trash. That don't count. And also, I was like, I can't miss because my mom is right there. And I think about moments like that, and I harken back to, like, what would my sports hero do? And the fact that I was in the Alabama airport when all that stuff came out, I was just, like, I was angry at first. I was like, nah, this is bullshit. Like, this ain't true. Like, TMZ is trash for this. This is the one time they're lying, and they got their facts wrong. And then when it happened, it was just like, I was in the airport, and it felt like I was the only person reacting to it.
I just want
to
say one thing. You know, a lot of people have a lot of feelings about TMZ, and I get it. I understand. Like, it sucks to hear about, you know, your loved one dying, you know, from social media or from text messages before the authorities confirm it. But realistically, like, whether it's the authorities or whether it's the media, like, it doesn't change the fact that that person's gone. And further, we all know how the LAPD works, and we all know how they drag their feet on things, and it took them days to collect the remains. So who knows how long it would have taken for us to know that Kobe died. And had we had not known when we did, we had to go through that stage of denial, that stage of shock,
bargaining.
And the fact that it happened on a Sunday, so people were able to go out there and warn him right away. Like, so I get it. Like, it hurts. It sucks. You don't want that to happen to anyone. But at the same time, can't blame TMZ. Somebody else would have reported it. Yeah. If anything, you can blame the person who leaked it to them, who probably made money from leaking it. But regardless, like, I get the premise of it, but this is just not the energy that we need right now. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Because as far as for me, like, this was, like, top three deaths. Like, my grandfather, Nip, and Kobe.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, on my lifetime, like.
And I said this on the podcast, but, you know, it's pretty unprecedented. Like, when you really look back on it, how many NBA greats are really dead? Like, there's not a lot. Like, maybe Wilt, but Wilt bounced around so much that he didn't have the same ties to the community as Kobe, who played here for 20 years.
Like, Kobe is L.A. Like, if you say L.A.,
and then
you can't say, you can't not mention. And Kobe's so great that he's a global icon, you don't even need to say his last name.
And that's the thing is, like, you know, the closest precedent we really have is kind of Nipsey, what we went through last year. But
both honestly, on a Sunday.
But honestly, like, and, you know, Nipsey's a legend as a man, as a person, as a businessman, as a visionary, as someone who went against the grain, someone who created his own lane. But, like, in terms of bars and the rappers, like, you know, people liked him, people didn't like him. But in terms of Kobe, like, nobody's arguing that man's greatness, you know?
I mean, there's some stupid people on the internet.
It's like that to the next level.
Yeah, and it's like, I think Kobe hurts in the same way Nipsey hurts, but for slightly different reasons. Because one was like, this dude came from nothing and worked his way up to, and wasn't even at his peak. Not even close.
Yeah, I
Nipsey
think
was like what 5 years younger than us.
Like, no, he wasn't. Nipsey was not that young.
I mean, older. My bad. We're 5 years younger than Nipsey.
Something like that.
Freudian slip. My bad. Like, he's like 32, 33. Kobe's like 41. So we saw his whole career, and then we saw like the infancy of him, life after basketball. And it's like I'm both left with like, damn, what could have been for both these cats?
I think my biggest thing, and that's my biggest hurt on this whole thing is just thinking about what Kobe didn't get to accomplish. And you're talking about it with Nip, ascension as an artist. Kobe was really ascending as a personality, as a person, as someone who was finally letting us in, finally showing us him as a father fully and really embracing that. And when I think about what he was trying to do for the WNBA, mentoring them, advocating for them, because he grew up with sisters. He has four daughters. He saw the power of women. He believed in the power of women. Yeah. He saw they were capable of the mama mentality and a mama mentality. And so he really appreciated that and respect that and loved it. And he wanted to help the WNBA proceed because he knew in the long run that would help Gigi and Gigi's girls or whoever else wanted to play women's basketball.
Just basketball in general. Yeah. That would help elevate the game across all boards. And that's something that a lot of people will say. That's why this generation got more love for Kobe than it'll ever have for Jordan. Because we were consumers of Jordan. We were like,
yeah,
we helped elevate Kobe.
We grew up with Kobe. He was our childhood. He gave us moments on our Christmas. He gave us moments on our Easter. He gave us moments, you know, Martin Luther King Day, Black History Day, New Year's Day.
Literally, like, the basketball court. He was there all the time. In a classroom in the third grade. Kobe, somebody blocks a shot in class. You get him back on the basketball court. Okay, Kobe, game winner. And even if it was nothing, like...
So like,
that's
yeah.
That's the lexicon.
Yeah, so, like, yeah, it's like the inner child in me, you know, is grieving for that because I remember those moments with my grandpa and my dad and watching those games and really growing a love and understanding from basketball through Kobe. Even though I am a Clipper fan, I always respected his greatness and his creativity and him just unauthentically and unapologetically being himself. But more importantly, you know, when I look towards the future, I'm just upset because Kobe was really trying to own everything. And we talk about diversity and we talk about inclusion and we talk all that stuff. And really, it doesn't matter until we have it at the top. And we finally had someone who was right there. Who was on the verge, who was going to create all these different own lanes. And
his female assistant coach. And now he's gone. His female assistant coach, who was, she in particular, mother of three, you know, now her husband was like, I have three daughters and no mom. What am I going to do? You look at the baseball coach, 700 wins. He had players coming out on his behalf. And you look at the three girls, Gigi and her two friends, who are on that helicopter. And it's just unfortunate because you don't know what those other two girls could have been. They could have made it professionally. And it's sad because there's no one you can really point the blame at on this. Like, when someone dies or something happens, we're quick to be like, man, this could have been prevented. The Nipsey thing, we all know and feel that could have been prevented and should have been prevented. We look at the Kobe situation, like, it could have been prevented, but let's be honest. People die in car crashes. People die in their sleep and don't wake up. People are, hell, there are babies born stillborn. Like, things like this happen. And when something like this in life happens, it really makes you realize how small your problems are. And that's kind of crazy to think about. But when I look on this Kobe situation, I just, for me, like, I'm great. I'm lucky enough to even be able to say I've lived through that. And I sit back and look and think about how. Yeah, outside noise, guys. Thanks. I sit back and I think about all the great memories I have of a dude like Kobe. Just like the culture of LA basketball. The fact that, honestly, if you really think about it, in California, like, Kobe was the reason a lot of guys wanted to turn pro coming out of high school. Like, he was one of the top people. Like, people say Kevin Garnett, but really, when you think of people coming straight out of high school, you think of Kobe, and you think of what he did for LA, and you think of the fact that this man was becoming this tycoon in all these different industries, or at least trying to, and becoming like a servant, so to speak. And he didn't go to college. Yeah, he literally didn't go to college. But when I look at him, when I look at Jordan's impact, I'm sorry, I'm gearing towards Kobe, just because I can see, like, I can see DeMar DeRozan, I can see Russell Westbrook, I can see a whole generation of people who he's touched personally. And I can see WNBA players.
And I talk about this all the time, but, like, you know, everybody always says New York is like the Mecca of basketball. But, like, when you really look at it, like,
Kobe on
who the have they really put out, like, in a while? They haven't.
Okay, you might get. Are you talking about,
the
like,
Cats have already talked about it statistically. Look at who the best. Look at the names you just named. DeRozan, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard. Like,
there's like 15 people I didn't mention.
Dame Lillard. Like, all those people.
He came from Oakland.
All those people grew up watching Kobe. They grew up when New York was sleeping or in fucking snow or doing whatever the fuck they do.
That's
running around in frocks.
Fair and Marbury, but.
Yeah.
And Melo, but.
When they were asleep, we were out here watching Kobe. And so just to see that influence across the generation, and if you look at the common denominator between all those guys, like, they're dogs. They're assassins. There's alphas. And that comes from the Kobe tree, the Mamba mentality.
And if, I don't know if everybody is an Arrow fan, but if you saw the Arrow series finale and, like, the whole Crisis on Infinite Earth thing, spoiler alert, Kobe's like the Oliver Queen of, like, our universe.
So, is there anything else you want to say before we move on?
Man, I'm just really praying for the families, because, like, I've lost people close to me. Like, I've seen people die in front of me. And when you lose someone who's, like, the patriarch of your family, that changes you. Like, that changes how you even see things, what you want to be. Almost gives you, like, not a sense of purpose, but it almost gives you something extra to live for. Like, I lost this person, but I don't want to lose what they meant and what they did going forward.
Yeah, man, I think the saddest shit was watching Shaq.
That hurt. Shaq, like, and T-Mac, it was unbearable.
Like, Shaq, the diesel, the most dominant ever, just seeing him cry like that, the dude who's brought me so many laughs, and as a workaholic, to hear him say, like, guys, I work too much. I don't even be reaching out to you, like, as much as I should.
He said, last time we, like, talked was the 50-point game. I said, give him 50. He gave me 60. Like, fam, y'all ain't talking 3 years?
And
it has to, like,
and that's something I think about, like, as a workaholic, as, like, someone who works all the time, who enjoys working, who prefers to work than be on vacation. Like, just seeing Shaq say that, like, that really rocked me to my core. Like, I was just like, and that's why I've just been in this haze all week, because it's like I've drawn so much motivation from the Mamba mentality, and just to see him go out like that, like, who the fuck am I but a mortal? Like,
but I mean, he was mortal too, though.
And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying is, like, it just makes you feel even more mortal, because I'm not a person who's scared of death. Like, I'm not. Yeah. I've never been afraid of death. Like, but this just made me really think of, like, not fearing death, but fearing not finishing what I'm supposed to do. Like,
and even, like,
and it just puts you on a whole different, like, outlook. And then just thinking about that Shaq shit, like, I work, and it's like, man, maybe I just need to reevaluate my priorities. Like, Shaq is, like, if Shaq's real, if Shaq is rethinking his priorities.
But I think he says something that a lot of us don't really mention. It's like, while we out here grinding and hustling, like I have friends who have kids and like
home. Well, even Shaq was talking about how he was just grieving already. He was already in depression.
His father.
And it's like every time I feel like I'm coming out of this fucking haze, it's like some other shit just happens, and it's just like.
I think for me, because I'm just used, I've seen death so much, and I'm like constantly dealing with it one way or another. Like, once the Kobe news hit me, like, I was by myself in the airport. So I had time to, like, filter what I was going through. Like, I would purposely go back to sleep because all I would see on the flight was Jerry West highlights and interviews.
I was in a fucking shitty hotel in fucking Alabama.
Yeah, like, there's, like, I could fall asleep on a plane, but, like, when they were like, oh, yeah, there's going to be some turbulence leaving Mobile, and in my head I'm like, oh, really? Fam. Like, I just read this. Like, it's fucking me up.
All right, man.
But, yeah.
Let's move on. I'm going to talk about football.
I'm grateful for the memories. Better. Like, I'm going to just end it. Like, it's sad that we didn't get to see what he was going to do, but we know what we can do going forward. So, like, you kind of just have to leave it at that. Like, what can you in your life do going forward? So that's just something that I learned at early
age. That wasn't that climactic.
I know.
You could have ended it on a better note than that.
I hate to break it to you, but life.
I hate to break it to you, but life ain't
that climactic. Like,
that's all you got. That was the best cliche you had to end it on?
It really wasn't, but I don't want to give you a cliche.
You're better than that. Come on.
I am, but I save it for the end of the show. But bottom line is, you just got to keep grinding. As Dr. John Herrick Clark once said, probably the most renowned African-American historian and teacher, master teacher, all that.
Word flex, but okay.
Yeah, as Dr. Don Henry, John Henry, Henrik Clark once said, shut up, don't do that. Bury the man, continue the plan. That's what I felt after Nipsey. That's what I feel now. You bury the man, but you got to continue the plan.
Better, but you already used that for Nipsey, so.
It still applies. Yeah,
we'll keep revisiting this.
Still applies.
We'll keep revisiting this. You got a third strike. Don't worry.
Shut up.
All right, so on that note, let's get to football content.
Get back to football content.
I am the greatest.
Again, you play Ali? Well, thanks for trying to cheer me up. That didn't cheer me up.
Yeah. Anyways.
You suck.
So in case, well, it doesn't even really feel like it, but Super Bowl's this week. 49ers, Chiefs, game we all wanted, defense.
Time out. What'd you just say? As Tim Brown said, I woke up in a nightmare today realizing that the Chiefs and the Niners in the Super Bowl, Raiders fans' worst nightmare.
You're not wrong.
I mean, I'm not going to say the Chargers because we know they're never going to make it. Okay, now the show's reset. I feel good now.
But yeah, man, so obviously there's a lot of shit to talk about with this game. The top offense versus the top defense. You got speed at the receiver position. You got a stout secondary with a really effective pass rush.
That's a fast offense for the Niners too, though.
So just go through the matchups real quick. What do you think is the key to the game? I don't know where PG is. He's outside fucking around.
Yeah, I mean, just like a Chiefs fan.
Yeah, just like a Chiefs fan.
They don't show up.
Not there when you need them.
They don't show up.
Not there in the big
games. They don't show up in the big games. I don't know. They might put a flurry. He'll put a flurry in at the end, but you didn't play defense for three quarters, and you're shocked that you lost. Anyway.
But yeah,
I consider this whole year for a Super Bowl null and void, and I'll never hear the end of it from Niners fans if they win, even though they only show up like every 15 years out of the goddamn fog, like. They show up more frequently than the Titanic iceberg on a GPS map, on a sonar. Like, they show up that frequently. Like, where the fuck? How did you get here?
I like when they showed that side-by-side photo of the Niner Stadium, like, 3 years ago, and the side-by-side photo of the Niner Stadium this year.
Yes, the Pac-12 championship game be having more people in there. Be packing that place up. I need a high school state football
team. The Lingerie Bowl has more people in there.
De La Salle, the high school football team, probably packs out a bigger stadium than most Niners fans in the past couple of years. Because remember, they were trash when they signed Richard Sherman.
They were trash when they got Jimmy G.
Yeah,
they were trash just last year. They went 4-12. They went 4-12,
and it's just like, oh.
And which we have a call coming on the back end, but
the D Ford. By the way, speaking of back end, Akilah Witherspoon is pretty much like the linchpin to see, like, if they get Tyreek Hill on Akilah Witherspoon, it's over. It's a bloodbath.
Honestly, I think that's the biggest matchup of the game is the receivers versus the DBs. Because
are we counting Kelce as a receiver?
Yes.
Okay. Because he's a tight end, but he's like a block. He can block. But I'm don't give him enough credit for his blocking.
Because if Pat Mahomes has time, those receivers have the speed to get past anybody.
Quan Alexander. You think Quan Alexander's going to have a Ray Lewis type game where technically he played like shit?
I'm so tired everybody of hearing about Quan Alexander.
Okay, you want to
I've heard Quan Alexander like Quan. Too many
this
times
this year.
This is
why we need to hit the Quan drop.
Too many times this year.
But I'm saying Fred Warner, by the way, the Raiders passed on Fred Warner. Now he's like the best linebacker in the Super Bowl. I just want y'all to know, like, I'm better at drafting and analyzing talent than a lot of y'all who have jobs. I don't understand it. Like, who's making these decisions to pick these players? Like, name the last BYU linebacker who wasn't trash in coverage.
They're
all good in coverage.
You want to get off your pedestal and talk about the Super Bowl?
The Notebook is coming. Just never mind. Anyway, I'll let that breathe. But as far as the Super Bowl, man, Chris Jones pretty much said it like, yo, we're trying to stop Jimmy G. And that's all you can really do. Or you have to hope Jimmy G wins the game because they can run the ball. Like you could put me and you in the backfield, and we're probably going to get 4 yards. Like, the way they have three, four running backs. And shout out to Raheem Mostert. He got cut like 7 times.
I just really want Andy Reid to win, man.
I really do.
That's
I'm rooting for
why.
The fat guy. I'm sorry.
He's not even fat anymore. He's like slender.
Because the lap band.
You're fucked up.
Oh, we just gonna act like, okay. So if I come in and get lap band, if I get lap band and take off 3 weeks, come back on the show before my birthday,
I won't say shit. I will not say anything. I won't say shit. I'll post photos on social media. We won't even talk about it.
I'll be like, damn, look how great I look. Like, I'm in the gym.
Just like that girl you graduated from high school with, and then a year later, you see her and she got double D's and you're
selling Herbalife. But you know,
all of a sudden, half her content is archived, and you're just like,
"Now we're going to a deep dark place right now." I mean, it's fine. One thing like when her whole Facebook is scrubbed, but like she hits you with a Snapchat ad, and you're like, "Hold on, what is this?" And then like that first snap be fire, and then she don't snap for like 2 weeks, and then all her shit's on Twitter and IG.
You're speaking from your own experience.
Nah, we could talk about like that phase between 2010 and 2015, but I'm gonna let that go.
So finally,
those are nasty times.
As usual, he's the king of saying goodbye too many times before he actually leaves.
They're like the reverse of an Irish goodbye.
He's the leader of Courtside Radio here, the station manager of the Good News Sports Studio 2, aka the best studio.
Hey, 100% right.
It's the studio, right? Like it's.
Showtime, baby, all the time.
You've seen him on like probably 30 different podcasts.
If he hasn't been on your podcast, he will be in the next 5 minutes.
Facts. Facts. Podcast.
He's Mikael the PG. How you doing, PG? What's good, man?
Hey, doing pretty good. Getting it together. That Kobe thing.
It's been a week.
Been crazy. Just for the whole city to see the city with his heart broken like that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Still heartbroken.
Yeah, still heartbroken. It's crazy. And
I just don't want
to
hear from Smush Parker or Kwame Brown right now.
No,
shout out to Roy Hibbert, though.
No, but Smush Parker, he got to show some love. Like, Kobe gave
Snoop
him.
Lion.
He was able to play for the Lakers.
He made him a moral.
He has dreads and gold hair now. You know
talking
that, right?
About Smush Parker is because of Kobe.
He has
Kobe,
dreads and gold hair now. You know
no,
that,
yeah,
right?
I know. Yeah.
But
looking
yeah,
like
man. So we're trying to move forward and talk about the game, man, because it is Super Bowl week, and I know this is a weird time for you because on one hand, you know, you're devastated. On the other hand, your team has a really opportunity they haven't had since forever.
To be honest, the Kobe thing kind of like took away the buzz of the Super Bowl for me, but you know, it's, you know,
and you came on here week one talking about this team was going to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you did.
And I just trust in.
And that's why we want to give you your flowers while you're here.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you might have y'all.
And oh, stop it. You're a stan. It doesn't count.
I tried to tell y'all that I got Chiefs shirts for you guys.
I just want
to
know, how is that Chiefs bar after party going to be? And can I get, like, free wings or a hookup?
No.
Or a plug for next week?
The plan is already made.
Shout out to the podcast pit.
Shout out Mark Gunnels of Mark My Words. Every Tuesday, 6:30 to 7:30. Once the Chiefs take care of business, y'all need to get him on. But the Chiefs take care of business, I will be in Kansas City for the parade.
Really?
Getting real barbecue?
Real barbecue.
So you're going to bring something back, though, right? No, you're bringing me barbecue back. Because
if I chill with Andy Reid, I'm pretty sure we're going to finish the ribs that
we
have.
Oh, because the lap band? Is that what you're saying? Okay, so when I get lap band, like around the middle of the year, I'm going to save up my tax money and everything. When I get lap band...
Hey, but y'all down to come, you know, the Chiefs, we're always recruiting. If y'all haven't heard of Jalapeno Pete's,
I'm trying to think of.
That? Oh, that's dope. But
I'm trying to think of what's bigger than a band, because whatever it is, that's probably what you need.
Wow. Damn. That was offensive.
Orion's belt.
That's not even.
Orion's belt. A lap belt.
A lap belt.
Okay, cool. Damn. Cool.
That's
just
crucial.
Just wait. Just know I have like 10 jokes to kill you both, but I won't do it because Black History Month is coming
up. But yeah,
up.
Man. So I want to just ask you this. Yeah. How did the Chiefs lose this game? What are you worried about?
To be honest, the Chiefs lose this game just like the other games that they played, if they play out of character.
Mm. Like Pete Caroline?
Yeah. When it comes to...
It's actually nice. Nice.
Why are you rubbing it then, Pause.
Hey, that's weird. But when it comes to just being out of character, like... The scariest thing I think a lot of NFL teams saw that were playing in the playoffs was the Chiefs going down 24-0 and winning by 20 points.
Yep.
Because everything went bad. You know, fumbles, penalties, defensive lapses, like everything went bad. And they still made it happen. And they kind of, you know, they kind of fixed that against Tennessee a little bit. But early on, they started off.
Did they get down like 14-0?
No, it was 10-0, then 17-7. What was hurting them was a lot of offside penalties. Like the defense was just jumping, and it was leading to
first
downs.
Shout out to Frank Clark,
shout
Chris
out to
Jones,
and D Ford.
Yeah, the tackle. So it's just if the Chiefs play,
they ran the Chiefs play too. The Titans.
No, yeah, that was nice.
Yeah, that was.
But
nice.
They're at home, so we don't worry about them.
Leave the Titans fans alone, man.
Hey, if the Chiefs play their game.
Are y'all going after Derrick Henry a free agency? I'm just curious.
No, we don't use that type of back. But if the Chiefs play their game, I feel that the Niners has no chance. And I think that everybody is talking about – the dumbest thing I hear people say is, this rush reminds me of the Giants rush. That's fine. Tom Brady couldn't run like Pat Mahomes and move like Pat Mahomes, you know. Yeah. And I think people are underestimating – the improvement of the Chiefs defense, you know, like these guys, once they figure you out within the game,
it's Tyrann Mathieu. Just say Tyrann Mathieu.
No, but it's not that. It's Spags. He's a big part of it because he's a Super Bowl defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
So he's won two of them. So he knows what it takes to make those adjustments. And
I think he was the defensive coordinator on those Giants team.
That's how he got Rams gig. I forget.
So that's what he tried to build a similar type of defensive line. You have Frank Clark. You have Chris Jones up the middle. Derek Nnadi, Mike Pinnell, who's a really great run stuffer for the defense.
Who's your other defensive end? Isn't the Browns, the dude
TK,
from the Browns?
TK, Pasanio
from
Villanova.
6'7", dude. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have him, and then you have Terrell Suggs, another Super Bowl veteran who was a key part. And then, you know, they playing with the term that they're using, championship swagger. And it's the defensive side of the field that I feel confident about. Like, I feel that our secondary play... you know, plays really well. Chavarius Ward does a great job. He's had a really good season. Other than that.
Man, the thing with that whole swagger is it's cool, but...
I mean...
Once you go against a team, like, you're not playing the Titans.
No, I agree.
Once you go against a team that really can smack you...
But they can smack you and Kittle
but
runs
they are,
people over.
They are similar to the Titans in the way of...
They're better.
Of course, their run game is different, but the Titans had a really good run game, and their O-line was very physical. Their quarterback play is similar, the fact that that's who you want to beat you. And I think other than Kittle, I may take A.J. Brown, Corey Davis over what the Niners have at receiver. Like, I love
Debo Samuel.
Debo's nice, but he's not better than A.J. Brown.
He had a better rookie year than Jerry Rice or Terrell Owens.
But that's stat fodder.
That's a different type of NFL.
I saw that. Was that PFF that put that out?
No, that was actually NFL Stats and Info.
Hey, check it out. So do you guys know the last loss that the 49ers had?
No.
So their last loss is 29-22 to the Atlanta Falcons, right?
Oh, yeah, that's
Kittle
right.
Kittle caught 10 catches for 100-something yards. They only ran for 70 yards, and they lost. So if maybe the Chiefs might say, we're taking away everything else. You know, Kittle's going to get what he get, but if we take away everything else, Kittle's not going to have 20 catches for 200, 300 yards. And that's the way that Atlanta were able to
beat
them.
Well, that's what the Honey Badger comes in.
He can come in and cover one-on-one.
He can cover a tight end.
Yeah,
and the corners aren't all trash. No, like, you have coverage linebackers. No.
Yeah, and Breland.
I don't know about Hitchens. What are you going to do on the
Breland,
run game?
Bashard Breland has played well.
Kendall Fuller.
Kendall Fuller, who plays like a safety.
Y'all pretty much have to play nickel the whole game.
Most teams play nickel the whole game.
Against this Niners team, I think that's where they might have
Rashad Fenton, the rookie from South Carolina. Like, the Chiefs are built. And then the offense, really look out for the screen game. Because the screen game, when we played them last year, that's how we attacked them. Because we knew that they were coming. They were sending four. They were playing kind of similar. They love to play that cover three. The screen game really was able to get to them. And just, man, Mahomes' ability, like, he's kind of doing what I would say that Trevor Lawrence did until, of course, he got up to LSU, who was clearly better. But he started to show more of his legs, which opened up the game even more for him. And Mahomes is doing the same thing. Like, he's not just running out to pass. If you keep dropping back, he will run for that 5, 6, 7, 8 yards. He's just keeping the Chiefs out of third and longs. And even if he get there, he's probably one of the best ever already at 3rd and 15, 16.
I think the biggest thing with them is they just, like you said, they have to play in their game. You know,
yeah.
As great as Mahomes is, and as much as he's going to probably need to improvise, he's also got to stay within the game plan. If they get it, because, like, the Super Bowl is a big-ass moment. We saw that with the Rams last year.
The Rams are banged up, though.
But they were in the perfect situation. Down 7 into the fourth quarter versus the GOAT, that's what you asked for. That's all you can ask for.
And
they didn't take advantage of that window, and it closed. Window's gone.
What was Jared Goff issue? In the noodle arm club now?
Jared Goff was the issue.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. So
his teammates can't fail him.
Man, they weren't supposed to be there, so they were feeling bad. Like, damn, we really cheated the Saints.
Honestly, you know, can we be
the
honest?
The fix is really in.
The Saints were the better team.
That's really what I'm worried about. Just as long as Mahomes doesn't do anything out of character and try to do too much.
Yeah.
And I think they'll be fine. And then also Andy Reid, too. He can't try to do too much, overcoach, overthink. He's a great coach. He just needs to continue to be a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a big moment for him. I know he might not get there again. But at the end of the day, you got to do what got you there.
He doesn't have T.O. out there, but he does have a track team, an Olympic track team, and Travis Kelce.
And people underestimate how good those weapons really are. Like, Tyreek is really a complete receiver. He's just so fast that. And then the special teams. Mecole Hardman has a chance to make a play or two for a field position or
Percy Harvin type stuff.
Taking one to the house to create that momentum for the Chiefs.
And your kicker. That's why I think you guys have the edge.
Do they have
teams.
A receiver who doesn't run a 4.4 at least?
The Florida cat, Brian, number 11. He ran like a 4.6.
Yeah, and Brian Pringle is like 4.7. Pretty slow. But
game speed.
The worst thing that can happen for the Niners is if they get down 10 points or more. If they get down 10 points, it might be game.
Are you sure about that? Now I got to play devil's advocate.
Because they don't have the passing attack.
Excuse me?
Because the Chiefs' confidence would be so high. The Chiefs are going to keep on scoring. If they figure it out to get a 10-point lead, they're going to keep figuring it out. And then our pass rush, Frank Clark.
I don't want to have to speak this into existence.
He had three sacks.
Guy. Do I have to, like, just tell you Santa Claus doesn't exist?
All right, let's
rip the Band-Aid off.
Let me hear it.
Okay. Let's just break down how bad, low-key, the Chiefs' offensive line is. Honestly.
No.
In pass protection and clutch. Think about it. Eric Fisher is a basic starter.
He's been playing
starter.
All right. Okay. He's been playing solid.
Him and Mitchell Schwartz has played well.
I got to finish
Schwartz
my point.
Schwartz is good.
I got to finish my point first. D Ford, revenge game. Frank Clark been talking trash all week. D Ford went up against those guys in practice. He knows their weaknesses and their tendencies. They're going to stay away from Mitchell Schwartz. So it means Fisher's going to get it, and what Reader or Dieter, whatever his name is, there's going to be a lot of internal pressure to get to him. And if you look at that front seven for the Niners, they're built for it. Armstead, Buckner had a down year, but a down year for him was like 7 sacks. You have Bosa. They have a couple backups. I mean, mostly everybody's injured, but still. Then you go back and look at the linebackers. Fred Warner can be everywhere. You have Quan Alexander, who he's still somebody you have to block. You still have to, like, account for him.
I think the Niners.
And then you have Sherman. Okay, Sherman's taking away one guy.
Nah, not if it's Tyreek.
If I'm Sherman, I am guarding Travis Kelce the whole game. But they're not going to do that because that's just not how he's built. That's not his game. And then you have the safeties who are competent, and you have Akilah Witherspoon who can be boom or bust.
The question is, what can you throw at Patrick Mahomes that he hasn't seen?
A lot with that defense.
It's irrelevant.
With that defense.
You just have to get pressure.
He hasn't played a defense.
Last year, the Chiefs were able to play Von Miller and Bradley Chubb.
But can
they're not even at the same level as what this level.
NFC West defenses are stingy.
We played teams, and then look at this also. The teams that the Niners struggled with this year were
Seahawks,
Cardinals gave them two tough games, two mobile quarterbacks that improvise and can get out. So that's going to be.
They hit them though.
Because it's only four, and the Chiefs, like the Chargers are kind of. They're not, of course, they're not the Niners, but
the soft version.
Yeah, they're the soft version. So they play a similar style of defense. We're going to let Ingram and Bosa get after you, and then we're going to protect our backside. And I just think that, man, Mahomes has seen everything. Andy Reid has seen everything. It's not going to be a blowout. It's going to be a really good game.
Yeah.
I just think that the game is going to turn into
a track meet.
Yeah, Racer. Can Jimmy Graham keep up? And that's
Jimmy
what
Garoppolo.
I think. Man, yeah, Garoppolo. I'm thinking Jimmy Graham's terrible.
Jimmy Graham's minding his own business, trying to live his best life.
Every time I think of Jimmy Graham, I think
he's
about how
on
terrible
that L
he became.
From last week. He's,
yeah. And he's sitting on
a 78
taking money. He's stealing money.
Ouch.
Dude went from Jimmy Graham to Bubba Franks.
That's disrespectful.
A couple seasons. That's how slow he looks out there.
He's not even Donald Lee.
Nah, he's
even
Bubba Franks.
Even when they did that tight end round table.
Jermichael Finley.
With Tony Gonzalez, Shannon Sharp, and Gronk. They were like, hey, Gronk, who'd you come up with, like, looking up to? Or, like, whose game did you admire? And he was like, honestly, like, nobody. Like, you're so focused on yourself and the Patriots. Like, nobody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Shannon Sharp was like, what about Jimmy Graham? Didn't you guys come to the league at the same time? And
nobody
was
expected that.
Oh, yeah. He was like, yeah, I forgot about Jimmy. He was like, yeah, Jimmy's nice, blah, blah, and started complimenting him.
Nobody expected that from Jimmy, though. They're like, I mean, I called it early, but I was like, no one expected that.
If he would have stayed with Drew, he would have been nice.
He would have stayed with the Drew or went to the Colts or went to somewhere where, like, he's the focal point. If he would have went to the Packers earlier.
So
you never know.
So but, who do you guys have? You got what you got? Niners?
I'm going with the Chiefs, man.
I go Chiefs.
What are the odds right now?
I say 42-30.
I saw something. They said the Chiefs 55% chance of winning, so they're like the favorites chance. But
I think the Niners are going to make a game of it late.
No, and that's what I feel. I feel that they're going to make a game of it late, and it's just going to be too late, and the Chiefs going to get a couple first downs to put the game away.
But here's the one thing that I think will stop the Chiefs dead in their tracks. Can they run the ball?
Yeah, when they need
to. Are you sure?
Yeah, when they need
against that stout defense?
They had a Titans defense where they had a drive where they dominated about 8 minutes where it was runs and short passes.
But the Titans aren't better than the Niners.
But you can use the short passing game for your runs. That's when the screen passes come in.
That's
just
cool, but you still have to be able to run the ball. If you can't get a yard, do you deserve to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, but last week, the Chiefs said, why run the ball? We can just keep scoring.
But that's my thing. That works too, but you got to factor in, like, let's say Mahomes gets hurt. You never know. Magabosa might trigger. You never know.
You're thinking too far ahead.
Magabosa.
He might enter trigger. I don't know. Something might happen.
Hey, Matt Moore did go and beat the Vikings.
He might get a text from Donald Trump before the game and be like, oh, I'm going all in. You never know.
Mitchell Schwartz and Eric Fisher are going to be ready.
But will those three interior offensive linemen be ready?
All right,
that's the point.
Yeah.
These are some ridiculous ass.
Wenzinski was.
These are some funny ass prop bets.
One with the Eagles.
Okay, so you can bet on if Darrell Revis would tweet about Richard Sherman during the game.
That's wild.
You can tweet about if they will refer to Andy Reid as Big Red. You can.
How many Lap Band ads will come up in the commercials? That's what I want to know. I'm counting for
you
that.
Can bet.
I'm at work that day. I can't even watch the game. I'm pissed.
Hey, I can bet something for you. I guarantee they're going to show it. They're going to show Andy Reid when he was a kid and he was big.
12-year-old.
And he threw the football. They're going to show it. They show it every time in big games. So,
there's the over-under on the amount of times they show Mike Shanahan is 1.5. I would definitely take the over.
Can I tweet about the Atlanta Super Bowl? Atlanta's just going to get killed on Twitter.
Oh, nah, don't do that.
So you can bet $100 to win $800 on if they show Donovan McNabb highlights.
Ha!
There's a lot of crazy-ass prop bets for this shit. I still can't find the fucking odds.
Shout out to Bobby Taylor and Notre Dame cornerbacks being trash.
Wow.
Yeah, I brought that up, Pete. You thought I forgot? Thought I was going to forget? Nah. Can't name the last good Notre Dame quarterback. Cornerback. Like, literally the last good
defensive back?
Defensive back.
You can bet on the color of Gatorade.
That's wild.
That's obvious. Red and yellow.
So, red is at plus 275. That means if you bet 100 and you win 275.
Hey,
should I bet this money real quick and just forget about the podcast?
You guys are Raiders fans, so you guys haven't felt this type of pressure in a long time because you haven't been in
the Super Bowl.
You
haven't been in my sister's birthday.
You haven't been in the Super Bowl longer.
Yeah, but
my grandfather was like my age when y'all started.
You haven't been in the Super Bowl since they dropped the L in the conferences and added a C.
Hey, you're talking about things we don't talk about.
That's a lifetime ago.
You haven't been in the Super Bowl since Hank Stram.
Did the Civil Rights Movement start the last time Chiefs won?
I don't even know.
So we don't talk about
Super Bowl
III?
We don't even talk about it.
We passed
Lynn Dawson was smoking a stogie and probably some Black and Milds.
And we
just the one they called him.
But hey, I'm telling you this: blunts have already been sent from Mahomes after the game to be blazing.
Are you sure?
Yeah, right. Like his ass smokes blunts.
His little square ass smokes a
box of Capri Sun.
He smoked whatever his girlfriend had on him, and she probably just had like
she
a vape
smokes,
or
she
e-pen.
Smokes for sure.
She had a vape pen. He's that's
going
about
to the,
it.
He's I know she the smokes lounge, for sure. If anything,
yeah,
the hookah lounge.
Yeah, that's I can see his ass at the hookah lounge.
Hey, he's more of a dog than that, man. Don't do that to him.
He's a hookah lounge guy.
He's more of a dog than that, but no,
he's a take two puffs on the cigar and then pass it because I don't want to like smoke off IG.
Man,
okay, so
you got the odds.
So yeah, so the Chiefs are favored by 1.5 points.
Yeah, I mean it's gonna be a close game,
42-37. And
usually the home team gets 3, so that means the 49ers are a pretty big underdog.
Why would the home team get 3?
Because usually that's just usually how the bets
team
work.
That wears the dark jersey.
No, just in general, like the team at home usually gets plus 3.
Why isn't the Niners had a better record? Why isn't it them?
Because that's what I'm
Look
saying.
Look at the nervousness
that's
in his face.
No, I don't
that's
give a damn about
that.
That's
what
I'm
saying.
What?
So like,
hey,
so like the
let
Chiefs,
me tell you, we were down 24-0-1. Fuck odds.
Okay, first off,
that's what I'm saying. The odds told me right there the game.
Houston is stupid. I can't say the R word, but Houston's dumb. And Bill O'Brien is their head coach.
But tell me how many teams
Bill O'Brien's their head
would
coach
would have won that game being down 24-0?
A couple.
I don't know, man.
Like two.
I don't know.
What teams?
Patriots. They would have cheated their way back into the game.
Nah, even the Patriots wouldn't have been able to save themselves from that.
It was bad. It was a bad 24
against Houston.
It was bad.
Houston,
it was bad.
Almost. I know.
Houston was everything like hit the fan.
Like everything. I'm sitting there watching it. Like, bro, this cannot be real. Like everything is going wrong. This shit is terrible.
But it's Houston. You got to remember that.
Yeah, but still, to be down 24-0 like that, where
but you have Mahomes. Me and Pete played Madden, and I literally like almost won on the last play.
Because clearly. Pete sucks at Madden, if that's the case.
I got cheated. It was a bullshit fumble, but I'm still mad about it, like, clearly.
We
got
to get that
Kelsey
going,
was
man.
Over for a touchdown. Like, it was damn near he would have scored. There was no one there. And then I trucked the safety, and he fumbles it. But
I
had, like,
wild.
10 catches,
I
like, 300
I could take some
yards
from you, bro,
receiving. I was hot.
I could take some wings from you in Madden, bro.
Nah.
Honestly, aren't wings still owed? Didn't we, like, discuss wings being owed somewhere?
Maybe.
The past, like, 3 weeks?
Oh, no. You owe me wings for Lamar Jackson. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, what kind of wings?
Oh,
you still
yeah,
have, I've
forgot.
Been, like, waiting to cash in on the bet. Oh, I want wings, too. And you're just, like, not saying anything. So I guess we're just all going to get collective wings from Gunnel's bet.
Hey, I'm really excited to see this Super
I'm kicking
Bowl,
my
man.
Bet up.
It's going to be a great, like, a great, it's going to be a great game.
Halftime show is going to be
what
trash,
what happens
though.
If the Chiefs win? Like, what's going to be your first move?
Man, shit. If the Chiefs win, It's going to involve tequila, probably tequila and Hennessy. I'm going to take a double shot.
Oh, so you want to die? Like,
yeah. I'm going to take a double shot, bro.
Are you going to? Are you going to?
The Chiefs have it.
You going to give them both one of the year.
You got to do that shit on IG Live now.
Of course.
You said that, bro. No.
The Chiefs haven't won.
And you have to send it to everybody. And you have to be live on Twitter.
I'm going to have the double shot, and I'm going to shoot them both. And
nah, you got to start with mimosas, bro. You got to work your way up. You want to be drunk one way or another after this game. Because if you're sober and they lost, it's going to be a bad
lose,
time.
I'm going to be pissed off.
So you want to be drunk. You just want to be drunk to
start.
I was
so disappointed and pissed when they lost to the Patriots last year. But I think that was that.
They needed that loss.
That was that Bulls playing against the Pistons.
Honestly, that's one thing that kind of gives me hope. In them, just because I know that they've lost before,
and Mahomes is better,
and Mahomes has been there, and he got better. Like,
yeah.
Honestly, I didn't even know how he was going to perform his second year.
Yeah,
and he's shown that he's all that. He's all that more.
He's willing to take those short passes that last year he wouldn't.
And like ever since I watched him at Texas Tech, I was like, this dude is going to set the NFL on fire. I didn't think he was.
Oh my God. Here we go.
Negro Diamonds. You didn't know one Texas Tech player.
You were not talking about
Negro Diamonds.
You can check my
tweets. Shut your ass up.
When they played Oklahoma and he threw like 89 touchdowns.
Shut your ass up.
I didn't think he was going to be 10th overall pick in the draft.
I saw that game and all I said was, it's the Big 12 football. They
don't play no defense. Like, not knowing that was your savior. That was your messiah right there.
Man, for real. Graham Harrell looked him like Aaron Rodgers in college.
It was him and Baker Mayfield, though.
No, it was big time, but I
was probably the highest scoring game ever. Still,
ending up with these weapons and Andy Reid. And I'm telling you, the team is so motivated. It's like the Pistons when they were playing for Larry Brown. It was like, we got to win this.
It's like Giannis this year.
I don't think people respect Travis
Kelce. It's like Giannis this year.
Nah, I don't believe that.
I don't think that.
I don't know, man. It's going to be, now we fighting for a different cause.
Can I ask you something, though?
So is Giannis, bro. Giannis is fighting for the same cause.
Middleton out here winning. I'm just saying.
All right, hold on. You got to call her.
Cool. Hello, caller. What is your name? And tell us where you're from.
My name's Kevin Molina, and I'm from L.A.
What's good, Kevin? How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm stuck in the hellmouth that is called LAX.
I was there on Monday. I feel your pain, bro.
But, yeah, for those of you – go ahead, sorry.
It feels like I'm in a quarantine zone.
That Uber Lyft situation? Oh, my God.
But, yeah, for those of you guys who don't know, this is Kevin. He came on our show at the beginning of the season. He – He's the host of the 49ers Hubcast for the 49ersHub.com.
Ooh.
He's also a fellow Matador, CSUN.
No conflict of interest, just the lineage is strong. That's all that means.
So, Kevin, where I want to start, man, is so you came on the show. You came on the show, man. 49er
I feel like we
guy.
Clap for you. Hold on, wait. There we go.
And you told us you would be happy with 8-8. So,
how you feeling now?
How you feeling now, man?
What's good?
I'm pretty happy, obviously, with the way it turned out, and I'm scared shitless about Sunday.
But, like, if they lose, did you really lose?
Man, see, that's the thing. I'd rather lose in the playoffs than lose in the Super Bowl.
Agreed.
So,
I mean, you guys felt it last year. I mean, like, there's no pain like losing a Super Bowl.
So...
Wait. Oh, yeah, that's right.
You're a Rams fan,
fake
right?
Rams. Hey, that's how you know it's not real. You know, he was like, what are you talking about?
Hey, man, black out that memory, dude.
The Ravens. I was blacked out at work. It's cool.
All right, so we have our boy here, Mikhail. He's a Chiefs fan. And we asked him how the Chiefs will lose. So we're going to ask you the same question. How do the 49ers lose this game? What are you most afraid about?
If Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the planet, the 49ers will lose the game.
Okay.
That's pretty.
I got a question. I got a question.
Therein lies the problem, because unless Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the field, can the Chiefs win the game? And I don't think they can. I think they're an offense that, while they have a lot of speed, they're wholly dependent on Mahomes being Mahomes. And if Mahomes isn't Mahomes, then they're kind of screwed.
So what is it that you think your team can do to make him not Mahomes?
Well, well, you play keep away. It's like basketball. You milk the 24-second clock. With this, you milk the 40-second clock. You have those long 8 to 10 minute drives. You keep them off the field. You keep them off on third downs. You force him into situations that he doesn't want to be in, and then that's your best route to success, to be honest.
And what are you more confident in? Akilo Witherspoon getting like beat in coverage for like the game winning touchdown or a big player, or Bosa beating Mitchell Schwartz, who's like the best right tackle in football?
Well, see, that's the thing though. Bosa primarily lines up on the right side of the defense, which would be against the left tackle. So I would take Bosa versus Eric Fisher over him versus Mitchell Schwartz, because since D Ford's come back, you're seeing that primary alignment where D Ford is on that side of the field.
And as far as anybody versus Mitchell Schwartz,
that's a tough game. Yeah, I mean, I think that's why you're going to see that. So you wonder if just having D Ford on the field and his speed makes it a little. That kind of gives you, Mitchell Schwartz, enough problems where it deteriorates inside. It's kind of his left shoulder. If we see some of those where they try to pull stunts there in order to use D Ford's speed as kind of a decoy.
And as far as, because you have Kittle, you have Samuels, you have Bourne, you literally have. Wait, did I really just say as far as again? Damn, I gotta tax myself on that one. I've literally said that 100 times in the past week, and I hate myself for it. All seriousness, so as far as that front seven goes versus, shut up, guys. As far as the front seven goes and Kittle, what do you feel like is the biggest strength on this Niner offense?
The run game. And so here's fundamentally the thing. Everyone says, oh, Garoppolo is only threw eight passes during the NFC Championship game. Well, when you're running 285 yards on supposedly a top 10 defense, you don't need to throw. And so when your biggest strength on offense sets everything else up, that's what you rely on. And that's where the Chiefs are the most vulnerable. You know, they're going to attack their safeties outside of Tyrann Mathieu. They're going to attack their linebackers because they suck. And you're going to all day long.
I mean,
I'm calling for what it is. Like, what's the weakest point of this? Like, if you take all the position groups across this entire game, or on both teams, the weakest group is the linebackers for the Chiefs. And that's not an insult to them. It is what it is. So that's what you attack. You attack via the run. You stretch them out. You force them into over-pursuit. And then you try to hit them with the play action.
Hey, so,
and that's where Kittle becomes such a threat, is because who's going to body Kittle?
Hey, so,
I mean,
Kevin,
Tyrann Mathieu, as good as he is probably giving up, what, maybe 5 inches and about 40 pounds?
At least. Facts.
Hey, Kevin, so I have a question, because I hear a lot of people when it comes to the Chiefs and their defense, and the narrative is just run the ball on them, and, you know, you can beat them. With the Chiefs already hearing that so much and then seeing it firsthand from the Titans, what do you think is going to, like, make it so much different with the Niners?
Three heads.
So the biggest thing, and the reason why you saw in the second half why they basically stopped the run, is because the Titans stopped themselves. They couldn't keep Mahomes and that offense off the field, so it forced them in this situation where they had to continue throwing the ball. They couldn't rely on Henry to run the ball. He only had 3 carries in the second half, and a lot of it had to do with the Kansas City offense being their best defensive weapon. Now, if the 49ers are able to keep the game, you know, where they keep on the same kind of script where they can continue to run the ball regardless of the situation, then I think that's where you find that yourself in that situation where they can continue to run the ball. Because I don't think the Chiefs defense stopped the Titans off or running game. I think it's the Chiefs offense that stopped the Titans running game.
And I think that's the toughest issue when it comes to Mahomes. Mm-hmm. For his career, out of his whole career so far of him starting, only one game has he scored less than 24 points. So it seems like that's what's going to happen.
I think it was the Colts this year, right? right?
Yeah, that was versus the Colts. We had no Tyreek, Sammy Watkins, and he was dealing with the injured ankle.
So which back do you like the most on Sunday? Who do you think is going to end up with the most rushing yards, because they've kind of been rotating really throughout the whole season?
Coleman's dislocated shoulder.
See, I would my first instinct would say Coleman, just because of how well he played versus the Vikings. But if you think about it, the strength of the Chiefs' run defense is Mike Pennell and Chris Jones. That's their inside game.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to try to run at Frank Clark and try to run at Terrell Suggs and try to run at those perimeter linebackers. So I think it's a Mostert game, and I know I know there's some rotation, and they could always change it up. But I think he's your best. He's been the most consistent running back they've had all year. So why you know, stop there? Ride that horse until the Chiefs prove that they can stop it.
And I was talking about this earlier, but what do you think about the Niners' receivers versus the Chiefs' secondary? Do you like your advantage there, or do you think some guys are going to have to, you know, have games outside of their character? What do you really take from that matchup?
So it's a little interesting, because you have to think about it. Debo is kind of a half wide receiver, half running back.
Yeah.
So they get the ball to him in different ways, where they line him up in the backfield. They do those jet sweep motions, those end arounds. So I don't think it's necessarily going to be a traditional wide receiver cornerback kind of battle. So it's going to be, how are they moving him around? If anything, it might be one of those games where Emmanuel Sanders, because of his experience being in two Super Bowls and his playoff experience and his ability to get open in various positions, I think we might see that kind of be where they try to exploit things. But I think Debo is going to get Debo's, because just the way they line him up is they line him up in a way where it's hard for defenses to kind of get a feel for where he's coming from.
And, I mean, that's why you give up a pick for Sanders, is for that exact experience in this sort of situation. Yep. So, just to wrap it up on my end, what would it mean to you for the 49ers to win the Super Bowl? What would it mean to your family? Like, what are your plans if they do win? What's going to be your first thing that you do?
All right, so here's the thing. My wife is a Broncos fan. My brother is a Cowboys fan, and my father-in-law is a Raiders fan. None of them are really going to care. So I think they're just going to be happy for me.
Oh, that's cool.
What do I mean for you personally? I remember when the Lakers won their first title, and having that boyhood joy of watching the team that you love. I mean, I've been a 49er fan for almost 30 years. And so only having one Super Bowl in my watching lifetime, enjoying that, I just think for me it would be that amazing experience where you're like you finally say finally.
And as far as Niners fans kind of disappearing like every so often, how do you as a true Niners fan call out the bandwagon fans who I feel like showed up 37 seconds ago?
No, I mean, you call it out for what it is. Yeah, I mean, I think you get a good feel via social media versus, you know, jersey sales versus attendance sales, who is a true fan and who isn't. You got to be honest. If someone just came out, jumped on the bandwagon because they jumped on the bandwagon because they think it's a cool team, then you call it out for what it is. You know, I'm sure you guys, I mean, Laker fans definitely know what I'm talking about. Dodger fans know what I'm talking about. Rams fans, like, the diehards are going to be the diehards.
Yeah.
Support that. You know, the rest of them, the bandwagoners, they have to prove that they're diehard fans, that they have to prove that they're willing to suffer through a 2-14 season, through 10, you know, 4 straight double-digit losing seasons, through 10 wins in a 3-season span. If they can prove that they're on that level, then they're all good with me. But if they're not, if they're only here because they're winning, then it proves you're not really a fan. Because at the end of the day, a fan is short for fanatic. And if you're not a fanatic about your team, then get off the damn boat.
And when you look at the fact that, yeah, they haven't really had much success, if you take away their Super Bowl appearance, you know, with Harbaugh and everything, and ironic that Sherman has a beef with him, where do you, if the Niners do lose this game, who's getting the jersey burned?
No one. because I think this team, for you know, outside, I don't know what the outside perspective is, but there's so many likable guys, at least from the sense that I get.
Solomon Thomas, definitely.
From other fans that there's so many likable people that I don't think anyone's going to burn anything, that anyone's going to get mad. I think they're going to be just more sad and upset about the loss, but not take it out on any one person, unless they have like a Kyle Williams moment where they fumble the ball or they fumble a punt and it leads to the loss.
You're allowed to say that name?
I think it's fine. I remember that name, dude. That's burned in my memory.
Akilah Witherspoon, Quan Alexander. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, man. So what's your final score prediction?
Oh, you know what? I've been going back and forth on it because I tend to be more rational and tend to be more kind of logical about these things.
Yeah, for sure. We got that from your 8-8.
So I put it like this, and it's something I said at the beginning. If the Chiefs win, it becomes Mahomes is special. The 49ers, they can win in the various amounts of ways. And I think that ends up playing what it is, because the Super Bowl, for whatever reason it is, it's basically like three games in one. You know, the first half, that third quarter, and then the fourth quarter. And things change from drive to drive. Momentum changes from drive to drive. And I don't know how that impacts, because I don't know if they've ever been put in that kind of situation where they need to win in a different way. I think both teams get in the 30s. If I had to guess, you know, it sounds a little homerish, but I actually do think that they do win. I think 34-31 Niners.
Cool. And real quick, last thing, what are you most looking forward to eating or drinking on Sunday? And also plug your social channels and where people can find you.
Well, not a Corona. I'll probably drink a Modelo.
Who is that a shot at?
I mean, a shot at the coronavirus, I guess.
The coronavirus.
Yeah, probably a Modelo. My wife's cooking is amazing, so I'll probably enjoy that. And, I mean, you guys can find me at Kevin A. Molina. 49ersub.com. You can follow any of us there. I mean, really, it is what it is, man.
All right, man. Well, best of luck Sunday. We appreciate you coming on here. It's good to hear from you, man.
Anytime, man.
Yeah. Keep it up, man, and persevere in that traffic and keep mambaing.
Just make sure you get that right code for that Lyft or Uber, bro. Just don't let anybody cut you in line.
All right, man. Peace.
All right, you guys have a good night.
You too.
I got two dark horses for this game.
All right, go ahead.
I think people are overlooking.
Another one?
I was going to say. Go ahead.
Two names. One, Sammy Watkins. Because so much...
Sam the man.
So much...
Mr. Clemson
So much
himself.
Attention is put on Tyreek and Travis Kelce. And Mahomes just making plays.
But, dog, I've been playing FanDuel and saying that every fucking week.
He literally...
He's good for
he's
one.
Sammy Watkins'
he's good for
biggest supporter.
170-yard TD.
In the playoffs, like, if you look at the last 2 years, he has had, like, big-time plays and catches.
I know he does, but he only gets, like, two of them.
One team
good.
Is still a trash number for
good.
A receiver.
That might be what it needs. And then another player is, I would say, Damian Williams. I just think that people are underlooked, like they're not looking at the way that he can catch the ball. Like they always think about, can they run? But he can catch the ball out of the backfield and make a 4-yard catch, you know, 8 to 12 by just little moves that he makes. And then once they get in the red zone, he seems to always find the end zone. Like if you remember the playoffs last year, he was balling against the Colts, against the Patriots. And then last week, he was the guy who had a nice little drive running, but he caught a touchdown, he ran for a touchdown. So those two names that they aren't talking about. They're talking about the speed of Hardman and guys
so,
like that.
So what's your score somebody. Prediction, just to wrap everything up?
My score, I would say 31-27. I say that the Chiefs
gained, first to 30 wins.
Chiefs gained control. That's what it seems like it's going to. In the fourth quarter, they up 31-20. Niners, you know, they fight, they get a score to come in close, but it's the Chiefs' just offense can move the ball too well. And
Kenny, your final score prediction?
I'm gonna say this. Look
Raider,
out for
how much the Raiders score? I never mind.
Stop it.
That don't even affect me, dude. Like I was a Rams fan for one season because I was mad at the Raiders for trading Khalil Mack.
So
like,
I just fakest, admitted that. Hey, he's the fakest.
He's everybody just a fake fan. Nobody wants to claim you.
Kevin was like, yeah.
From Oakland.
Hey, Kevin said, you know how it feels. Yeah. And I'm looking like, what?
I'm just saying, shut up.
That's funny.
But nah, in all seriousness, I say 42-37 Chiefs. Just because I don't see the Chiefs beating them in a low-scoring game. I don't think that's how they win. That's not. They can't play conservative and win this game. Because the Niners are like uber conservative, aside from Maga Bosa and just Shanahan and how he remembered how hard he choked in the Super Bowl with the Falcons. I don't see them. I just don't see them playing conservative and winning. And I think LeSean McCoy is going to score a touchdown. Mainly, that's kind of a hope, a small hope for me.
So he's not even going to suit up.
He earns it. He deserves something.
He's not even going to suit up.
Yeah, he won't.
That hurts. Will Watkins suit up? He'll suit up, but will he really be Watkins? Will he be
fourth overall pick
Watkins, or will he be?
I'm gonna go 33-38 Chiefs. I think they're gonna get the 49ers are gonna get a safety. I also just like predicting safeties.
What is your deal? And no one picked the Niners. Hey, so
clearly a basketball fan. He likes twos.
All right, man. So just to wrap this show up, as we do every week, we go around the table. Everyone gets their 1 to 2 minutes of time to say what's on their heart, say what's on their chest, just to whatever you didn't get to say, whatever you want to leave the people with. This is your time. So, PG, we'll go ahead and start with you, man.
Man, first of all, I just want to thank you guys for having me. For you listeners out there, make sure you check me out on Courtside Radio every Thursday, 6:30 to 8:00. And you can find me my show also on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. And then don't at me with Michael and Alex. You can check us out on YouTube. A lot of dope stuff coming up. But, man, just for all you just people that's going through it in L.A. With the loss of Kobe and Gigi, that, you know, Kobe was someone, no matter what, like, he dealt with, whether it was charges, injuries, it was always pushing forward and getting the best out of, you know, whatever you have. So I know it's a lot of people that's going through a lot of hard times, and not just dealing with this situation, but with life, period. Mama mentality is, like, just a real thing to say, just push through and give everything that you have. And most of the times when people do that, they reach, you know, some form of greatness. So, man, never give up and push through.
Do the guests want to say anything? You guys want to say anything?
Ladies, what's up?
You want to say something?
Don't be shy. Feel free.
Step up to the mic.
Step to the mic.
All right, they're being shy. All right.
Don't miss your moment. Come on. Get the tape out.
All right, next time. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to say, rest in peace, Chris Dolman, Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get to that.
Yeah, I think he died Wednesday. 2-year battle of brain cancer.
Yeah.
150.5 career sacks. He's fifth all time. Most of his sacks came with his 10-year career with the Vikings. He was drafted fourth overall out of Pittsburgh by the Vikings, and then played between the Falcons and the Niners. And, yeah, man, we'll see how much CTE he had, because they were talking about that in some of the stories, but, you know, cancer sucks. And he was only, like, 58. So it's a lot.
Brain cancer at 58, that is a lot, bro.
The same cancer that McCain had when he died. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But on a more positive note, I'm just thankful that, like, we got a bunch of jokes off on Twitter about, like, former trash teammates of Kobe Bryant. Like, that Roy hit, like, one dude literally had a screenshot. He said, I'm going to just play 2K. Lakers versus Celtics with 12-minute quarters, and he literally scored 188 points on Paul Pierce. I have the screenshots. I sent it to everybody.
That's wild.
He scored 188 points with Kobe Bryant. Like, he had all types of it's hilarious. But, and then they also mentioned Roy Hibbert. But I'm just thankful and reflecting on that trip.
Bro, you
to
said Roy Hibbert way too damn much in this podcast.
I know, and Twitter reminded me. But anyway, I'm thankful for like the week that was in Alabama. It was really dope. Honestly, had the best meatloaf of my life, like at Gwen's Kitchen. Like their mac and cheese was fire. And shout out to that Steak and Shake. Like Steak and Shake is my new goat now. Like it's like Nations and then Steak and Shake, because the fact that their menu was literally under $5. I felt that was crazy. That felt like theft, like on my part. Like it's ridiculous. Now I just have to come back out to California. I'm like, man, Cali low key a little bit trash. Like that's what had me feeling. It was weird. But also the Waffle House.
Told you gotta travel, bro.
Like, and I used to always want to travel, but now that like I did that, I mean, aside from like getting on planes and getting stuck in the middle seat on the way down there, which by the way,
missing your connecting flight.
That's funny.
I just said it on a more positive note.
This is your time. My bad.
Hey, come to Kansas City next week, man. This should be fun.
Nah, man. Give me like a month. that trip took a lot out of me. But nah, I think the next step is Hawaii for real next year, or at the end of this year. But I mean, I'm grateful I got a chance to actually fly. I've never been to Alabama, and that was cool. Aside from like the subtle racism that I always knew was there, lingering over my shoulder, like I felt it. But other than that, it was chill. Hotel was chill. Weather was bipolar. 28 degrees when I got there. Makes no sense. 28 degrees in Alabama, like it's country cold, and then there's, oh my god, I might get sick and die cold. Like pneumonia is on my neck cold. That shit was ridiculous. And I didn't bring a hoodie. All I brought was my leather jacket. And boy, I'll never do that. I'll never make that mistake.
You know that shit don't zip.
It don't. But it looks nice. So fuck you.
That's comedy.
This dude, man, this dude was in the bathroom brushing his hair, and I'm like, your hairline fucked up. Like, what are you doing? Why are you even wasting time? Like, just wash your head and move on.
All right, man. So
look at his hairline. It's fucked up.
Man, this week's been a lot with everything that happened with Kobe. And, you know, I've just been going from place to place. Hopefully tomorrow I'm going to be at the game. Last night I was at a PR event. Saturday I got a conference. You know, Sunday's the game. Monday I have another event. Tuesday's another
podcast
game.
Podcast pit.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to the podcast pit.
7:30 to 10 at the Down and Out.
That's what's going on Monday.
Come on, man. What are you doing?
I was like, I have an event on Monday, but I don't know what it was.
You just dry stitch you up. Now you have to show up. You just dry stitch yourself.
I'm definitely going to be there.
I just text Keith right now and say, bro, I don't think I want him there, man. They didn't even mention it.
I'm here. I'm in it.
The podcast pit, Down and Out, we're going to be there on stage with three other podcasts doing 20-minute bits. The podcast gauntlet at Down and Out. Make sure you're there. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a different experience for us. We're going to do trivia, probably give away some prizes we did at our draft event.
And we've done 20-minute podcasts before. I mean, when this podcast first started, literally, because you cut off all the air in the room, and I was like, it's too fucking hot.
Yeah, and then your ass wouldn't shut the fuck up, and here we are, 2 hours and 160 episodes later.
You're welcome. And for real, if you've never done a podcast in a hot car with Pete, don't.
Wow. Pause. Anyways, so yeah, man, it's just been a hell of a week, man. I think the weirdest shit that about the whole Kobe situation was I was literally reading about him, and I haven't read a story about Kobe in like months. Like I was reading a story in the USA Today, and when that whole thing happened, it was unbelievable. And just thinking about how we lost someone who was really, really not just like we knew him as a great basketball player, but I was just really excited for what he was going to do in the future and pulling us all along with him. And now that that's gone, it really just falls to the rest of us to open up our platforms, to invite people in, to pay forward to the future generation, like Kobe was doing, to advocate for, you know, underrepresented people, just like Kobe was advocating for the WNBA. So it's like, as much as everybody's been saying it, it's like the Mamba mentality continues, yes, but at the end of the day.
Did you just combine, like, the marathon continues?
Yeah, I did. Hold on. Let me finish my fucking bit.
Ever do that again.
Holy shit. Because I'm the first one to do that. Because
that sounds
hasn't been a whole fucking hashtag about that shit.
Wait, really? There is? Hold on.
Yeah, bro. People have been using that shit all week. They've been doing the little fucking snake with the little race
tag.
The
Mamba continues? The Mamba mentality continues?
Yes. Where have you been at?
Deep in Black Twitter. and NBA Twitter.
Yeah, I've never seen that either.
Which brings me to my point. Wow. There's only one Kobe Bryant. So for as great as what Kobe was always authentically himself. And I think that's very important for people to understand in this generation of clout and attention getting. And so Kobe went from the 17-year-old rapping, take brandy to a prom, you know, arrogant kid to the grown-ass 41-year-old man that we all were starting to fall in love with. And he laughed at that arrogant man, not just because, like, he did that because that was him. Like, that he understood adapting and evolving was part of being a human. And so it's very important for people to understand that and to also be yourself. Like, truly, Mamba mentality is not just about hard work. It's also about being yourself through and through, whether that means being a polarizing asshole or whether that means being a great dad. Like, you just have to be yourself and you have to evolve and you have to be great and also be a great worker. And so with that, I close out this podcast. I thank everyone for listening. Shout out to the Good News Radio Station. Shout out to the Good News Sports. Shout out to the X-Squad affiliates. Shout out to FPC Radio. Shout out to Courtside Radio. Shout out to Mikhail the PG. Shout out to Kevin. Shout out to the Hubcast. Shout out to Kenny. Great work last week. Shout out to Genie. Shout out to Genie's Big for being here. Shout out to everybody else who fucks with us.
Shout out to J-Lo being... shout out to Shakira being better than J-Lo. And that halftime show might be trash after those two. There.
Stop it, bro.
Disrespect. Okay.
I said after those two. Stop it. Whoever else they might bring on might be trash.
I can't even find the crickets sound in
this. But between those two, between those two, it'll be dope, but Shakira's better than J-Lo.
There you go.
Actually.
All right, man.
And then she brings out Will.i.am.
Touchdowns and tangents. Peace.
Peace.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.